making a difference while also making dollars, fulfilling purpose while making profit, because we're all for profit, right? But when you have a heart like his and a vision to really teach the community how to fish, it's very important. And then when you add in myself into the mix and we create a partnership and friendship and relationship at the bank, and I just, you know, kept telling him, like, it's not just about, you know, teaching the community how to fish. It's also just as important that we create a quality pond.
Welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Elizabeth Holtrup, and today it is my absolute pleasure to be joined by Lubbock D. Smith III. He's coming to us from Vista Outreach at Vista Bank. I'm going to read a quick bio, and then we're going to get into the fun stuff, which is the questions and the discussion. Lubbock D. Smith III serves as Senior Vice President and Director of Community Development and Vista Outreach at Vista Bank. In his current position, Lubbock leads Vista Bank's South Dallas Banking Center as he focuses on lending, banking relationships, investments, CRA, financial literacy education, business development, marketing, outreach, and strategy, with an emphasis on small business opportunities, developing strategic partnerships. He was named 2025 Dallas Business Journal 40 Under 40 Award honoree, as well as an honoree of the 2025 Dallas 500, D500, by DCEO Magazine. He was recognized as one of the most influential business leaders in the city. He also received Dallas Business Journal Community Champion Honor for their 2023 Leaders in Diversity Awards, 2023 Cosign Magazine Community Leader of the Year Award, and 2023 Toast for Charity Community Champions Award recipients. He currently serves as a fiduciary board member of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce and Fair Park First. He's an entrepreneur at heart, and he owns a consulting business and serves as co-founder, partner, and senior advisor at Built-In Realty and Investment Group. Lubbock, I don't know how you make time for something like this, but I am sure glad you're joining us here today, and I'm really excited to listen and learn from you. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for sharing so much wisdom and knowledge just from that short bio. I know we're going to learn a lot today. So we always like to start out just with a simple open-end question. Can you tell us how you got into banking? Tell us a little bit about your journey.
That is a great question. And I think if I answer that question in terms of all the details and all the information, we'll probably be here all day. But in short, I would say it was like a divine intervention. It's some type of, you know, connection that happened. I went to a restaurant called Lucky's back in the middle of 2020. Recently at this point in time, I had just finished up with a career that I had in Division I athletics, given I had played football at the University of Kansas from 2008 to 2012. I was a four-year starter at safety, NFL dreams. That didn't work out, but was able to move on and work in athletics. Everything from tickets and sales, fundraising, marketing, student athlete development, academic advising, along with my master's at the University of Kansas. From there, went on to USC, did the same thing. And then at Old Dominion University, led as a director of student athlete development and leadership programs. So from that career experience, during COVID, I lost my job, moved back to Dallas, moved in with my mom, with my wife and my daughter. And at this point, I thought I hit an all-time low in life, but, you know, I prayed and, you know, spent time with the Lord and just asked if this was, you know, what he had in store for my life. And, you know, lo and behold, you know, I prayed and just got an epiphany that, you know, the Lord had bigger things in store for me if I was just trust and have faith. And so ended up doing that and taking that substitute job that I had. In 2 to 3 weeks, got promoted to third grade lead math teacher, in which they almost tripled my salary. I ended up creating my own fitness and consulting business, helped co-found a real estate brokerage called Built-In Realty Group, in which we do residential commercial with two of my best friends, one of which played basketball at the University of Kansas and in the NBA, and then the other one played football at the University of Kansas with me, but we go all the way back from middle school to high school, playing football at the University of Kansas. He was our team captain, team captain and starting center, along with myself as a four-year starter safety. And so did that, also co-founded a nonprofit and that worked with student athletes. So did all these things between September 2020 to December 2020 that led up to pretty much where everything changed for me in December 2020. I went to a restaurant called Lucky's, and as I was ordering my food, I talked to a friend over the phone about self-awareness. As I was talking on the phone, there was a short guy with a hat on, short, you know, white guy, staring at me, you know, eavesdropping and everything. And I was like, what is this guy got going on? And he was just eavesdropping on my phone call. When the food came up, I prayed over my food. When I looked up, he was still eavesdropping and staring at me. I was like, what is this guy got going on? And he said, my guy, I don't mean to be, you know, eavesdropping and staring at you, but everything that you said on that phone call was impressive. But what was most impressive was that you took time to pray over your food. That lets me know you're a man of faith. You mind if I join you? And so he joined me. We had a very long conversation about, you know, having similarities in athletics and, you know, all those different things. Coming to find out, he was a board regent for Texas Tech. He knew about, you know, my background in playing football. Ended up finding out that one of his clients was someone that I was interviewing with the University of Oklahoma football team to be the director of player development for football, which was a client of his, was the head football coach at that time. Wow. And I told him that I was a finalist. 5 minutes goes by, he shows me a text message he sent the head coach saying that he should hire me, that I was one of the most impressive young men he met in 5 minutes. I'm thinking that that's the end of the conversation. I ended up getting a word from the Lord for him, and I prayed over him. When I got done praying for him, he goes, dude, everything you said on that prayer was spot on. He's like, I got the chills. He said, but I feel like God is telling me I'm called to pour and invest into you because you're called to pour and invest in others. He said, we're going to be friends for the rest of our lives, but what you need to know is that I'm a CEO of a bank. He ended up being the CEO of Vista Bank. And so that led to a great friendship. Going into 2021, I helped the bank get more involved in the community as a volunteer. Wasn't even doing this as a paid job. I just wanted to help a friend. And then during this process, he and I had an interview with NBC5. After the interview, he goes, man, I killed every interview that I do. You dominated me the entire time. He said, you're impressive. I want to make this permanent. I'm creating a position for you at the bank. And so I started my first role at Vista Bank as Director of Community Development and Outreach. And now, as of February 2026, I am now President of the South Dallas Market at Vista Bank, marking as the first Black president at Vista Bank in over the 114 years that it's been open as a bank. So that's the short one.
That is an incredible story. First off, congratulations on your achievements. It's incredibly impressive and inspirational. Secondly, what I am hugely struck by is this power of, I want to say, kind of integrity within networking, because it sounds to me like both your bank's CEO, but also you yourself have very powerful networking skills. But it doesn't sound to me like from this story that you were even intentionally trying to network. You were just being a person of integrity, and it opened up these opportunities by truly, it sounds like a chance meeting with the CEO. So I am deeply, deeply impressed. I think this is inspiring, not only because of your incredible hard work and dedication and achievement, what you just laid out, but also that you are modeling being the type of person where if you act in a way that is consistent with your values, opportunities will come to you. That is really inspiring to me. Thank you for sharing that story. That's incredible.
I appreciate that.
Being the first, you said president of your market, the first Black president at your bank is huge. That's so, so important in banking. I think that's tremendously important. And I am very excited to talk to you. I would love to hear more about what you are doing within your bank and within your market in terms of innovation and programs that are kind of changing how your bank works within the market. I know you're doing some exciting stuff, and I would love to hear some of that.
No, for sure. And that's a great question. I appreciate it. This all started the vision in the heart of our CEO of Vista Bank Legacy, given that, you know, we're going through an M&A, we're partnering with NBH Bank, and they're taking on the Vista Bank brand and everything. So it'll continue to be Vista Bank, but just from a Vista Bank legacy standpoint, I want to make sure I know that John Steinmetz knew from the very beginning that there was an opportunity for us to impact the community by making a difference, while also making dollars, you know, fulfilling purpose while making profit, because we're all for profit, right? But when you have a heart like his and a vision to really teach your community how to fish is very important. And then when you add in myself into the mix and we create a partnership and friendship and relationship at the bank, and I just, you know, kept telling him, like, you know, it's not just about, you know, teaching the community how to fish. It's also just as important that we create a quality pond for our community to fish from within our own community. He said, I love it.
Quality pond. I love that.
Exactly. And so those things all, it's a foundation, it's the basis of in terms of what we do here. And so everything that we do is in order to do just that. And so the facility that I lead here in South Dallas, it's a financial facility that also is comprised of the bank. It also has a financial literacy center, which is being utilized right now by the city of Dallas for the economic development division to talk about the South Dallas Prep Park Opportunity Fund. They're one of our partners. And so that space has been utilized over 100 plus times, probably way more than that. I would definitely say a little north of 200, pertaining to opportunities on banking, learning financial literacy, entrepreneurship, real estate, investments, legal, health, like anything that can impact and transform the lives of not only our clients, but community members. Mm-hmm. We've posted it and done it, and we're continuing to build that out and do that. So it not only hits the CRA efforts that's, you know, required by banks, but it's also exceeding that box and going above and beyond it. So that way, as you win as a bank, you're also helping the community members and the clients that you serve win too as well. So it's a true win-win. And including that that effort, we have the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce office suite. They actually office in-house with us for their headquarters. We also have a community center lounge area that pretty much is like a living room for the facility. So you have lounge chairs and couches where clients and community members and people passing through can sit down, get access to free Wi-Fi. And I like to say it's better than Starbucks because we have a coffee bar area where you can get free coffee, and opposed to having to, you know, spend $5 to $10 on coffee. And then we have the last but not least, the South Dallas Prep Park Innovation Center. It's an entrepreneurship center here within our facility, led by one of our clients and bank partners, Darlisa Diltz, who is the founder CEO of that organization, along with Foundations EDC, that is a bank partner and helps build out programs, workshops, all kind of different infrastructure for banks to meet their goals and efforts in terms of making impact from an entrepreneurial education standpoint.
That sounds incredible to me, not only the breadth of what your bank is engaging in, obviously you're hitting some CRA goals there, but it sounds to me like it's more than just wanting to check the boxes of getting CRA credit. It's truly, truly wanting to invest in the community and build up that market relationship, which is at the heart of small community banking. I don't want to say small banking, but, you know, not the biggest banks, but the banks that are truly invested in their communities are the ones that I'm so excited to talk to, which is, you know, across the nation. That is what Main Street banks do best. Something that struck me when you described not just the goals of what these programs are doing, but that physical space is, I thought, oh, what you've created is a new Lucky's, where you can bring people together to do that kind of networking. What you experienced at Lucky's, it sounds to me like you're actually building that, because that sounds to me like that's your mindset and your heart, which is just incredible to me. I love hearing about this. And just hearing how you're investing in the community, which I would imagine is the bank's hope that these are customers or will become customers, but also more than that, simply because it is a good thing to do. And I love hearing that. It's filling me up. In terms of these programs you're doing, in terms of turning them to bank profitability, bank customers, where is that link? Like, what are some of the specific things you're doing to, not just because it's the right thing to do, but to turn it toward bank profitability? Because as you said, I mean, banks are for profit. It's a business. We all want to make it the bottom line at the end of the day. How does that intersect for you?
No, for sure. And that's something that we're basically building a plane and flying at the same time. But it's important to do that with people who are in alignment with the bullseye that you're trying to hit. Mm-hmm. And so for we have our partnership with the South Dallas Prep Park Innovation Center. With Darlisa and her team, we've built out two of our signature programs, one of which is our quarterly event, which last year it was a monthly event, but given the amount of volume that we have, we pivoted to quarterly. And so it's Triple B, it stands for Business, Banking, and Breakfast. And so think of it as a business symposium, network gathering for local, you know, business owners, entrepreneurs, community members, stakeholders, et cetera, along with clients of the bank that all gather and come together to learn something about business, entrepreneurship, and things of that nature. I'm getting information regarding banking and the services that we provide to make impact with them and earn their business, along with breakfast. And oftentimes our breakfasts are hosted by clients of ours that are either have their own restaurant, their chefs, they have food trucks, or, you know, they're an individual that's looking to grow their business as a caterer and owning their own business, you know, for food. And so that's what we host on a quarterly basis. Last in February, for Black History Month, we hosted Senator Royce West, along with Sean Williams with Allen Media, in order to host a fire chat. We had over 200 plus people here for the event here on our roof, which was a great turnout. And we have more of those throughout the year. We also have another signature event, which is called Path to Yes. Mm-hmm. Path to Yes is our effort and attempt to ensuring that business owners, no matter if you're an ideation startup, if you've been going for about, you know, a year to 3 years, or you're 3 years plus, we want to make sure that you're on the path to getting the yes that you need for your business. Whether that's yes to access to capital, yes to success for your business, yes to, you know, more a wider range of connections and network, anything that's necessary for your business, we want to set you up for that. And so it's divided into four tracks. The first one, the first track is ideation startup. So if you have an idea for a business that you haven't got, you know, off the ground yet, or you just start the business, track one is the track that we have set up for those business owners and entrepreneurs. Track two is going to be more for market revenue generation. And so if you are having a hard time generating revenue for your business, for the market that you're in, that's what that typically is set up for. So that way you can learn how to grow your business and know how to tap into marketing and different business development avenues to help you grow your business. And track three and four, myself and my other colleague, my team member, Charles McElrath, who is our CMVP commercial lender. He's been in banking over 40 plus years. Phenomenal guy. I call him OG Charles. And so he and I both lead that track, in which we are teaching everything about how to scale your business and how to pre-qualify for a traditional commercial loan. And so we're discussing things from your business plan, making sure that executive summary up, ensuring that you have all the things that's needed for your business to thrive in terms of from a banking standpoint, looking at the debt service coverage ratio, looking at the cash flow, looking at the ways how our credit underwriting team is going to look at everything, going over covenants, special conditions, everything needed to help them get to a yes. And with track four is designed for taking that person step by step through the lending process to get them to the yes.
That is incredible to me that you have, just laying out those four tracks, so many banks, and, you know, reasonably speaking, they're going to be starting at track four, right? Like, what they're doing is they're meeting with customers and they're going to walk them through the loan, and they might really hope to be able to get them to an approval, but their role as a banker is to walk them through the loan. That is incredible to me that your bank is going three steps prior to walking with entrepreneurial minded people. It sounds to me like maybe they don't even have a business yet, but they have a business mindset, or they're hungry to learn, and you're working with them to figure out how to get themselves established all the way up to step four, which is the loan. That is really incredible to me that you've backed it up down to those roots so far. I'm excited hearing about this. This is just such an incredible description of investment in community. And community is people, investing in people. I mean, thinking about how you're describing this, this sounds like it could be life-changing for folks to help them understand how to establish themselves as business owners, which are then, I mean, to me, small businesses are the foundation of any community, whether it's a large metro community or a small town. I would love to hear, I know you can't share details on privacy, but I would love to hear if there's any like special success story or anything that's really struck you through your work with this. Anyone you've worked with where it just kind of hit you as a good example of what this program can do. Anything you can share without naming names or details?
Yes, we're actually in the process of helping one of our clients who owns a local grocery store here in South Dallas. She has an opportunity of being able to buy the building, the land and property of where her grocery store is located. Charles and I, again, who's our senior VP commercial lender, are in the process of helping to be able to do that. It's out of a building that she's been operating out of for 20 years. And so not only, you know, is it a local grocery store, she also has a nonprofit that provides clothing to community members, people who are in need. She even oftentimes provides, I believe, like donations for clothes and food, anything that's going to help them get the, sorry, I got to turn on the light. in terms of, let me get this on. All right, technology, right? And so in terms of helping the community get the different resources that oftentimes they may fall on hard times or they're just trying to get what they need to get by, she's providing. So we want to be able to ensure that a community stakeholder like herself can be able to build more wealth and more opportunity for herself and for her family and the people that she served by actually owning the building versus continuing to lease out. And so that's one. Another one is a successful business that we, you know, have earned the business of here in South Dallas. We have the opportunity of being able to facilitate what is now a $55 million loan. And so this is something that's going to be grateful for their business as well as extremely beneficial and will continue to increase our capacity of being able to impact the community. So that way, you know, as we develop more profitability here in the bottom line for the bank, it gives us the capacity to be able to focus on meeting the needs of the community. So as we win, we'll have been winning at the same time.
Oh, I love hearing about that. Just those couple of examples. That's incredible because some banks will donate to their community and that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But what your bank is doing is helping, like you described, the grocery store owner, she's donating to her community, but also she's selling a service and your bank is investing in her business. And that is those layers of establishing that type of infrastructure financially that I love hearing about. It's a beautiful thing to donate, but it's also a beautiful thing to set up someone who is helping her community through both sales and donations within a local area. That's incredible. Yes. I love that.
We believe in giving a hand up, not a handout. You know, that's something that a lot of people, you know, unfortunately have not had the education or the exposure to. So we believe in empowering them through education, through being able to provide, you know, the resources that's needed for them to thrive and excel. And when you do that, it gives a sense of confidence. It gives a self-sufficiency. So that way you're not dependent on someone else, but you're getting the tools and you're getting equipped and built up on how to, you know, fight for yourself. And we believe by giving a hand up, we're setting people up for life.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I can completely see how it goes back to your analogy about teaching someone to fish and then making sure that there's a pond to fish from. I think that is incredible. It's inspiring to me. I would love to hear of more banks who are either learning from you, in drawing inspiration from you, or doing something similar, because this is, to me, this is the best of the best way to invest in communities and what some of our banks of this type of banking character can do in their communities. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm inspired. I love hearing about this. I am so excited to hear more about what you're going to be doing in your role in the future. We are getting close to our time, and I want to be mindful of your time because I know you are a busy person. If we could wrap up with you sharing any advice you would like to leave with our listeners. We like to keep it broad, whatever you would like to share.
I would say that we want to continue to ensure that we're exceeding the expectations of our clients and community members. As a bank, it's easy to check a box and say, hey, we provided donations, provided grants, we've done our job. But until we see true transformation happen in all of our communities, especially the ones that historically have been underserved and under-championed, we're truly not doing all that we can do to see them become successful. And look, you know, I consider prayer and say we're going to pat ourselves on the back regarding the impact we're making in the community. And, you know, it's great that we've become the first bank in over 30 years to be in South Dallas. But until this model that we are, you know, building today and, you know, what we like to say, we're building a plane and flying it at the same time. Until other banks adopt this and we're all doing this work together, you know, we still have a lot more work to do. And that's something that we look forward to every single day here. And we truly believe that we're revolutionizing the future of banking by bringing community together in the corporate way we're doing business. We believe by doing that, you know, it's going to help change almost, you know, at least one person's life. And if we can do that, we're definitely making a difference.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing your time, your wisdom, your energy, your genius. I'm just going to say genius because I love what you're doing with this. And I just appreciate so much you taking a small part of out of your day to share with us. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing how you're impacting your bank and your community. Congratulations on what you've achieved because it's impressive and inspirational to the rest of us. And that is it for this episode of Banking Matters. We hope you all tune in next time. I'm Elizabeth Holtrup, your host.